From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And this is How It's Done from the hit Netflix movie K-Pop Demon Hunters. How it's done, done, done. K-Pop Demon Hunters is the most successful original movie on Netflix. It's an animated film, and the title is pretty much the synopsis. It's about three stars who sing Korean pop music by day and slay demons at night. The girl group is too hard to beat by force, so their enemies come up with a new strategy, creating a rival band. And wouldn't you know it, the lead voice actress for K-Pop Demon Hunters has roots here in Illinois. Arden Cho plays Rumi. Cho grew up in the Midwest and went to college at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. My Illinois Public Media colleague Emily Hayes sat down with Cho for an exclusive interview. They talked about Cho's time at U of I, how it shaped her identity, and what she hopes this movie will do for Hollywood. Because this conversation's on tape, we're not taking calls live today, but you can let us know what you thought. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org.
It is so fun to get to talk to a star from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. So you were born in Texas and grew up in San Antonio and Plano. How did you end up at U of I?
Oh, man. I always joke and say when my parents immigrated to America, my dad was like, I'm going to go to the biggest state. And he chose Texas. So we were in Amarillo, Texas. And then, you know, my dad was like, he taught Taekwondo and he also had a very entrepreneurial spirit. So we just kind of moved around a lot and, you know, we were hustling. He was hustling. And so we went from all around Texas to Minnesota. And when I was in Minnesota, I remember when it came time to apply for colleges and universities, I'm like a big scaredy cat. So I didn't want to go anywhere far. I think I applied to like University of Minnesota, UMich, and University of Illinois, and ended up at University of Illinois, which I think is such an important part of actually like how I kind of became who I am today. Like, I grew up my entire life thinking I was, I mean, I am, okay, this sounds weird. I grew up my whole life thinking I was American, but like thinking I was like white. Like I like didn't know what it meant to be Korean American at the time. And again, this is like, there wasn't a lot of like Asian studies. There wasn't a lot of like Korean American identity stuff. Like I didn't really know what any of that meant. And again, I'm from Apple Valley, Minnesota, where I think I was legitimately the only like Korean person. And if there were Asians, they were a lot of adopted Koreans. So their parents are white. So they're basically white. Like everyone's Caucasian. So I think in my mind, like I just really didn't know. And I obviously just, you know, like as a kid, you just want to be like everybody else. But at University of Illinois, I actually ended up meeting a ton of international students and a lot of like really cool other Korean Americans and being like, wait, you guys are like me. Your parents are Korean? My parents are Korean. Like, I think I'm Korean. I don't know anything about Korea or Korean culture. I didn't speak Korean at the time. I remembered, like, I wanted to join, like, CASA, the Korean American Student Association, but I wasn't, like, Korean enough to be a part of it. So then I joined, like, AAA. But then I also felt like I still wasn't Asian American enough to be a part of it. And it was weird because at that time it was like, you know, there's people who are like really into their Asian culture and they very much know. But I think I just wasn't aware and I didn't really learn a lot of it growing up. And so it just was a huge learning experience. And then, I mean, I joke now, but I don't know if I can say this, but I like became friends with a lot of like Koreans because I would help them with all their papers and essays. And then like in trade, they would like teach me some Korean, you know, like just as kids. And I don't know. I mean, it feels like, again, it was decades ago, but I feel like I really learned to embrace my Korean culture in college. And then again, learned so much about the Asian culture. It was my first time having like boba bubble tea, my first time trying pho, first time trying like real sushi. I mean, yeah, I like look like this, but I was basically like a southern country gal that was like, oh, I like fried chicken and steak, mashed potatoes. And then now I feel like I'm like so Korean. Now I feel like I only cook Korean food and Asian food, and I feel like I'm so like now I mean, I'm almost fully fluent in Korean. Like now I read and write, I speak, and you know, I'm a little proud when sometimes I'm a bit passing in Korea where they're like, oh wow, your English is really great. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And it's like I'm not offended at all. I'm like very honored that they think my Korean is good enough that I must be Korean, and they're just impressed that I can speak perfect English. And it's really such an honor because for the longest time, no matter how much I worked at my Korean, and I'm talking, I would watch hours and hours of nonstop K-drama, listen to so much K-pop music to learn and to get like the pronunciation perfect, which I really truly feel like media is the best way to learn in a language. But I mean, again, it took almost 20 years.
Okay, so you've been a star on YouTube in the supernatural drama series Teen Wolf and in the Netflix show Partner Track. After starring in K-pop Demon Hunters, how is this moment different for you?
Oh, we're talking at the perfect time because about 2 weeks ago, I was thinking, okay. I know this. This is similar. It's similar to like that Teen Wolf fandom and love. I experienced it. I experienced a lot of love with Avatar, and I experienced a ton of love with Partner Track. Partner Track was the first time I saw my face on billboards. I got to be like in Times Square on that huge, huge media screen for like 2 months. And I was like, oh my goodness, I've made it, right? Like as a Korean American girl to be like head to toe just on these screens. I think that was just such an incredible moment. But then I think once the show was canceled, I felt so much like disappointment and I felt like a failure. I just felt like maybe that's it. Maybe my moments were, you know, Teen Wolf, a hot second for Partner Track, and again, like Avatar, but I only exist in the Avatar world to really support our leads. And I'm happy. I'm happy to support because it's such an incredible show for Asian Americans and just such a cool world to be a part of. But I remember a few weeks ago meeting a ton of fans, and a lot of the fans were like, I've loved you since Teen Wolf. I've loved you since YouTube. I love Partner Track. And, you know, we love that Rumi's like this. And, you know, I felt like it was a lot of overlap for in a sense. And then only in the last like week, it has hit me that this is a whole new level. This is something that I have never experienced in my career. This is something that I feel like a lot of people never get to experience in their career. One I never even dreamed of because I didn't think it was possible for like a little Asian girl like me, right? I moved to LA and you know, 2007, just hoping to be on TV a couple times and hoping to represent for the Asian girls out there, right? Like I just wanted to represent for the Midwesterners and say, hey, we could do it. But I don't want to say like I was like satisfied, but I was like okay with what I had done till now. And then only in the last week, again, like I just got back from New York, we just lit up the Empire State Building to dance to our soundtrack, to dance to Golden, and we had people all over the streets of New York, dancing and singing to the song with the most, I mean, I might be a little biased, but I think the most beautiful light show I have ever seen of the Empire State Building. And they did a phenomenal job. I feel like they really knew the movie. They chose all the right colors. It's all our girls, all of Huntrix is represented. Oh my gosh, I feel like I've just been like crying all weekend because it feels like such a dream. It feels so incredible. And again, to be a part of a movie that brings so much joy and so much hope and happiness to everyone is like, this is the magic of movies, right? This is why people make movies. And I think sometimes people in the business forget that because this business is not easy. I'm 20 plus years here, and it's not easy. And a lot of times we forget to hope and we forget to dream because you're busy working, you're busy in the grind. And I think for the first time in my career, I'm at this point where I'm just, again, in awe and celebrating with the fans, right? Where I think like everyone working on this movie is just as excited and elated and happy as the fans are, right? We're truly celebrating together. We're dancing together, singing together, and it's just so beautiful. And again, to sort of be on like every news channel, to be on every social video. I mean, I'm just like, my phone is just blowing up from all generations of my life, like people I haven't talked to in like 10, 20 years, just everyone being like, this is an incredible moment. And then, of course, to have people who I look up to so much, who I respect so greatly, being like, we're so proud that as like Korean Americans who have also sort of been in this business or been in this world for so long, we're proud that you get to kind of be a representative or like pioneer this like movement. And I'm like, wait, what? I didn't even sign up for that. And I don't know if I'm, can I even claim that? Like, I don't know. It's all like sort of happening as we speak. But I again just feel one, so honored just to be a part of this project. I feel so excited for what it means for the future of storytelling and movies. Like Netflix just broke records releasing in the theater 2 months after we were globally loved online, right? I think statistically, people would have thought that's impossible. I think, nobody could have predicted this, right? I mean, we're sort of hitting a new stat or a new high every day. Our musicians are basically the hottest singers of all time right now. Our vocalists are top of charts for everything. Our producers and writers, Maggie and Chris, our directors, are on a world tour because everybody's talking about K-pop Demon Hunters, and now it's like a beast of its own. And I feel like, again, trying to comprehend it all and almost like it's like day by day right now, something new every day. It's just so incredible.
All right, we have to take a short break. When we come back, more from my colleague Emily Hayes and her conversation with Arden Cho, the lead actress of the hit Netflix movie K-pop Demon Hunters and an alum of the University of Illinois. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Let's get back to my Illinois public media colleague Emily Hayes and her conversation with the actor Arden Cho. Cho is the star of K-pop Demon Hunters, the number one movie of all time on Netflix. It's overtaken some of Netflix's other original films, such as Bird Box, Don't Look Up, and Red Notice. Cho has ties to the 21st state. She's a graduate of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Before the break, we were listening back to their conversation about the effect the movie was having. They now turn to taking on the role of Rumi in the film, and feeling imposter syndrome. Because our show is on tape today, we're not taking calls live, but you can let us know what you thought. Our voicemail line is 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121.
Whenever there's a breakthrough for Asian American representation, like Crazy Rich Asians, Everything Everywhere All at Once, or the dark comedy Beef, many wonder whether that will open doors, meaning decreased discrimination in Hollywood. Do you see that happening after K-pop Demon Hunters?
I mean, I want to say yes for sure. I want to say yes because I don't think this is just for Asian Americans. I think quite often, like I'm a huge animation lover. I love animations. I love movies. I love the whole experience. But I think so often I see female leads, girls, either they can only be strong, or they can only be like beautiful and perfect, or they can only be like boxed. And I feel like something that Maggie and Chris were able to accomplish with Huntrix is they really have it all. They are strong, they are talented, they are beautiful, they are fearless, but then they're also vulnerable. They're funny, they're girls, they're silly, they're cute. I mean, they're insecure, right? They have it all, and I think that's what makes them so relatable to everyone, regardless of gender or age. Everyone looks at Huntress and says, "Oh, I'm like Rumi. I'm like Mira." Or they look at Saja boys and they go, "I'm Junyu," right? And I think that is some phenomenal storytelling and character development and writing to just really, really make our characters so complex and dynamic. And then again, on top of that, this is a very specific story. They are Korean and Korean American. This is in Korea. Korean culture is literally sprinkled throughout the entire movie, but it's also like the foundation of the film, right? We see KOEX, we see Namsan Tower, we see the streets of Gangnam, we see the Korean subway station and like the what's that called, like the speaker in the announcement in the subway.
That
I
sounds like a
forget what
good
it's called,
description to me.
but yeah, like
Yeah.
even that like voice, you know, it's in Korean. Or like, you know, the girls mix in Korean in the dialogue and in the music. It's like Korean is so seamlessly throughout the movie that I feel like it makes an audience who might not know Korean culture feel like they know Korean culture now. They're learning about Korea. They're learning about Korean culture in like the coolest way possible and loving it, right? They're seeing our food, they're seeing our fashion. And, you know, this animation in particular has the most costume changes for any animation ever. And that's something that is very, I feel like, a nod to Korean K-pop idols, which is something they do very, very well. Like fashion, just fashion beauty, Korea's like the best at it. And so I feel like there's, again, so much of the Korean culture in this movie, very specifically, that if it doesn't show the world that specific stories, narratives that are strong about a culture or people we don't know about, can 100% be successful. If this message is not clear, I don't know how else or what else we could do to show that, right? Like with Teen Wolf, I remember seeing a ton of Asian girls dressed up as Kira, a couple non-Asians, but this is the first time that I have seen more non-Asians dressed up as Rumi, Mira, and Zoe than I have for anything, right? Like everyone, regardless of, again, race too, wants to be the girls. You want to be Huntrix. And they are definitely Korean. Like, I really thank the animators and the artists for making them very clear that they're Korean, you know? And I just think, I just think it's like, I mean, I know that this is so meaningful to so many Asian Americans, Koreans, Korean Americans, really, and women. A lot of the messages I'm getting, again, from like industry people is all in the same realm of this is really big for us. And again, I feel like that's all just kind of beginning to process for me in the last like week. So this weekend and this week has just been insane.
Sounds lovely. I'm glad that you're getting to experience the impact that you're making for a lot of people. So, like you said, the character you play in K-pop Demon Hunters is everywhere. I've seen artists on social media drawing Rumi in their own style, covering her dances, styling their hair in her long purple braid. Who inspired your portrayal of her?
Oh my goodness. Well, I can't take credit for any of that. That is the artists, the animators, our directors, you know, creating Rumi is just beauty, right? I think for me as an actor, when I was finding Rumi's voice, I received a ton of direction from Maggie and Chris. They've been working on this movie for years and years before I became involved. And so I really was following a lot of their lead. But I think inevitably, like so much of myself goes into it, you know, especially in some of like the big dramatic scenes with like Celine or when Rumi breaks down. I thought a lot about my career and my life and how tough it's been to try to always be perfect, to always do it right, and to always make everyone happy. And I feel like Rumi feels a lot of that pressure. And I felt a lot of pressure taking on a role like Rumi because I really wanted to respect her and honor her and make her really truly the best. I mean, I think I had a lot of imposter syndrome throughout this whole project because I kept thinking, am I good enough? Can I even do this? Like, I'm sure there's someone better for it than I. And so I think it was one of those things where even though I had auditioned, even though it was something that it wasn't like given to me, right? Like I auditioned for this and I fought for this as much as any other actor does for their roles. But yeah, I thought of a lot of my friends that work so tirelessly in Korea who are so talented and work so hard to be these perfect idols, quote unquote, right? They're perfect. But what it takes to be perfect, you make a lot of sacrifices and it's tough. And so I think I thought of a lot of that. And then I also wanted to give Rumi a lot of strength. So I thought of a lot of like, you know, hero girls I saw growing up. And I think I wanted her to be, again, everything. I wanted her to be how she was written. She was written in such a fun way where even though she was the leader and she was perfect, she was funny. She was silly. She was awkward. And, you know, she was hiding something. So I think I just tried to be genuine and authentic to who I thought Rumi was. And I really do believe her voice was found collectively.
You've mentioned in the past that K-pop bands Blackpink and solo artist IU are some of your favorites. Do you have any top songs you're listening to this week?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I've got to be honest. I think for the last couple months, it's just the K-pop Demon Hunter soundtrack. It's everywhere. It's what everyone wants to listen to. It's amazing. Even my own glam team, I'm like, aren't you guys sick of it now? But even when we're getting ready, that's all they want to listen to. And it's such an honor. But yeah, I mean, I feel like now we can't escape it. K-pop Demon Hunter soundtrack. It is literally the entire charts is the entire chart is the entire
The entire
soundtrack. So
album,
I feel
yeah.
like, I mean, it's K-pop Demon Hunters, but I won't lie. I'm still listening to Blackpink and Lisa and Jennie, and I'm still listening to BTS, and I love aespa. I just like love all like girl power songs. I think I love anything that uplifts and makes you feel like, yeah, I can do that, or I'm the best. Because I feel like, you know, I mean, I don't talk about this often. Not a lot of people know this, but I am actually quite introverted. And I think why I love acting is because acting, I get to be someone I'm not. I get to be a cooler version, or I get to be the coolest girl, right? Like I get to be like Rumi. I could never be Rumi, but my voice gets to be Rumi. And I think with music, it's sort of always been something that is so powerful and special to me, where I kind of listen to music to get me into the right vibe or the character. And I feel like even for this movie, it was so important every time I would do the sessions, because we're not getting into hair and makeup, it's hard to feel cool and awesome. But I would listen to a lot of K-pop to be like, okay, I know I don't feel it, but I gotta tell myself I'm like 21. Like I'm the hottest, right? Like that I am Blackpink. I am aespa. Like I am, like, you know, and I think I was just telling myself that I am these girls so that I could make sure Rumi was like really strong and confident and cool, which again, as an actor, I always tell people, you need your hair, you need your makeup, you need your wardrobe and styling team, and you need the shoes. I know it sounds silly, but for some reason, when I'm not in the right shoes, I never feel like the girl. But with voiceover, it's different because it's just like our voice. And oftentimes, like, we have to be in like very comfortable clothes, like no accessories, no shoes that make noise, because we don't want like all that extra sound. And it was interesting to find that without having all of the help.
So the music
But
helped
it
with
was
that.
really, really fun.
That was the actor Arden Cho in conversation with Emily Hayes, my colleague at Illinois Public Media.